Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking up your morning with a big brain of Blair. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. Busy day today, Mr. Brunt. Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, will join us in a couple of minutes. Ren Lavoie from TVS Sports will be along. We'll take a look at the Washington-Pittsburgh series coming up. I guess now for me that the Blackhawks are out, this is the only series I'm going to watch because it's Sid and Ovi. And you know what I've done? I rediscovered my inner Ovi guy.
Well, I get
my
that.
Inner Ovi guy.
I get that.
I mean, I'm out there. I hope Washington wins in four. I hope Sydney's held off the score sheet. I hope Ovi gets like 14 goals.
Okay, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. But we'll talk about that series. We will deal with the Raptors. They are off to Indiana today. They will play tomorrow night, game six of that Eastern Conference quarterfinal. The Raptors leading 3-2. But, of course, Baseball Central at 11 o'clock with Kevin Barker. Before we get to that, the Toronto Blue Jays lost 4-0 last night to the Chicago White Sox. And, another great pitching performance by a White Sox pitcher. Not much in the way of offense from the Blue Jays. And Marco Estrada gave him a shot.
Gave
him a great shot. The bullpen, again. We'll talk to Mark Shapiro about that and see if there are any fixes in store for the bullpen. But to me, what was kind of interesting about this game, Stephen, is after the game, Josh Donaldson talking to Shai Davidi, and actually this may have been before the game, but Josh Donaldson talked to Shai Davidi. And, of course, Josh Donaldson was the guy last year who said this isn't the try league, this is the get it done league. And essentially, Josh Donaldson said the obvious point, the team needs to start hitting. But it was kind of a call to arms in some way for the rest of the team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was about playing the game right, about not making base running mistakes, about... You know, without naming names and pointing fingers, but this is, you know, there's a sense around this team right now, and again, I don't know that you or I or anybody has a great explanation for the offensive outage here, right? It's, aside from, you know, the core guys, the big three are performing just fine, and I've got no arguments with Bautista, Encarnacion, or Donaldson. I don't think anybody else does, but, everyone else really, can be found wanting. And there have been moments when this team seems to be playing, not sloppy is the wrong word, right? But there's a lack of mental sharpness which you see on the base paths.
Right.
Baseball's the strange thing about baseball, of course, is you can't try your way out of a slump, right? You can't work your way out of a slump. You can't get fired up and run through a wall and get yourself out of a slump. It's a game of fine motor skills and a game of getting the right spin on a baseball or having a feel or there's all kinds of little tiny things that don't. But if you're feeling pressured, and if things start to go bad, it can compound the problem, right? It's you can kind of feel a negative energy on a team sometimes, and you're feeling it with this team right now. You can sense the frustration. The starting pitching, aside from Ari Dickey, has been good. Last night, Gibby had that, the damned if you do, damned if you don't thing with Estrada. Am I going to stay with him because my bullpen, I don't trust my setup guys? Or am I going to hand it over to the bullpen and let him walk away with, a clean, good quality start? When he puts guys on base, he's facing Navarro. Am I going to go to somebody else or am I going to get it? I don't know what the right decision was there last night, but he stuck with Estrada. Estrada gives up the triple. I do that too. I think I would have done the same thing.
Well, you know, Eviseo Garcia, the guy in front of Navarro, struck out maybe the best changeup that Estrada had thrown all game.
Yep.
So I'm looking at a guy, and yeah, he'd had the walk, but I'm looking at a guy, and at that point, I don't think I'm going to take him out.
He's my best option.
Yeah.
You know, because
I've got nobody coming in better.
Well, I've had a pretty close look at, you know, Brett Cecil lately, mm-hmm. and I've had a pretty close look at some other guys lately, and you know, you don't Drew Storen is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a nothing game. You've been facing great pitching from the White Sox, and they've got a tremendous bullpen. So you're not going to, and you're not scoring runs anyway. So you are in a pitcher's duel here, and you know your best case scenario is probably, you know, a scoreless game into extra innings at that point. But you know, that's a tough one for a manager. It's very hard to play baseball on such a fine line where you have no wiggle room, where you can't make mistakes because you're not scoring runs. Your pitching has to be very, very good. And I say their starting pitching by and large has been very, very good. I've got no complaints with that rotation. Mm-hmm. It's way better than I thought it would be.
Yep. This is what Josh Donaldson said. I will tweet out a link to Shai's story on sportsnet.ca. These are his quotes in Shai Davidi's story. I feel like we need to do a better job of being good hitters. We need to reevaluate some things, and hopefully an off day does us some good. That off day, of course, is today. I think some people need to evaluate their approach. Chris Sale is Chris Sale, but we have a lot of big-time right-handed bats in this lineup that should be able to handle Quintana. He's had a good start to the season so far, but it looked to me like he was throwing a lot of heaters, and I don't believe there's anybody who should be able to come through here and throw us a lot of fastballs and have the kind of success he had against us. At some point, you've got to tip your cap to the other team. They're doing a good job of pitching, but I'm a big believer in this team, and there shouldn't be a left-handed pitcher, especially two of them, on back-to-back days to come in here and pitch the way they did.
Yeah.
We've got to do a better job in the bases. It's too late in the season for mistakes to happening. That, you know, we saw on Wednesday night, the second inning, I think it was Matt Dominguez. Matt Dominguez hit a liner. Troy Tulowitzki failed to tag up from second. And, you know, it was...
there have been some mental errors on the base paths.
Michael Saunders, a couple of times.
But those are all signs of a team that's not firing
mm-hmm.
on all cylinders in general, right? You've seen this. You saw it last year. You know, that's what this team looked like for different reasons. But, you know, this team scored a ton of runs last year, but the pieces didn't fit together for a long, long time. You know, look, Chris Sale may be the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Right.
So I'll tip my cap to Chris Sale, but I think he's right. There's been we know there's been a tremendous number of strikeouts with this team, but there's been a lot of swing and miss on fastballs,
mm-hmm.
too. Like just a lot of misses on fastballs, not catching up with fastballs or not hitting fastballs. And this team on a murder. If they've got a guy coming in throwing heat, and especially a lefty,
yeah.
they should murder those guys.
Yeah. The Jays go to Tampa. Well, they're in Tampa right now. They'll start their three-game series tomorrow. Drew Smyly, Chris Archer, and Jake Odorizzi. So you're not getting any break there. And then they come home to face.
But they always play so well.
Texas Rangers. Stop it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. But the one thing that should give people some comfort is you look around, and yeah, the White Sox are on a tear, right? They're running away. I'm not sure they're going to continue to run away, but they're running away right now. But you know, everybody in the American League East has got an asterisk next to them.
Yep.
Right? There's not one team where they're saying, boy, we're set. We're feeling great.
No.
And I think that's the way it's going to be all year.
Oh, I think it's going to be almost like a demolition derby all year.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, the team that has the best starting pitching the longest, I think, is going to win. I think it's going to win the division. I think that's probably what it's going to come down to. So as I said, Mark Shapiro will join us, and we've got a lot of questions to talk to Mark about, or a lot of questions to ask Mark, I should say. Specifically, we'll ask him about the suggestion by Chris Colabello that he'd used substances provided by the team.
Only substances.
Only nutritional supplements provided by the team yesterday, or in the off season. And, of course, we know that he failed a drug test. So there's a lot to talk about with Mark Shapiro, for sure. I think probably, you know, the Jays have lost six of their last eight, and I think one of the reasons that this has kind of really stuck with people is I think there was a feeling at the end of last year that the Rogers Center had started to give the Blue Jays a really pronounced home field advantage. Mm-hmm. And now you've had teams come in here and essentially go, we don't care about your home field advantage. And I think that's probably contributing to the general sense of something's not right.
Well, there's a sense, and there's a, you know, there's a bit of sourness creeping in too.
The 10 and 13 doesn't help.
10 and 13 doesn't help. Losing games, going back and looking, saying, you know, there's probably five games in there we should have won.
Yeah.
You know, for one reason or another. Like they you know, they got blown out the night before and they got beaten pretty thoroughly last night. But, you know, there are a bunch of games where if you shift those five games, then this is a very successful start to the season. They're in first place and everybody's feeling good.
Right.
But it does, you know, Donaldson saying that stuff publicly, the manager's getting a bit cranky. you got to watch it in baseball, right? The spiral downward. Clubhouses, last year, as you may recall, everybody loved everybody.
Yes.
Right? They had little toys they played with. They had their own bathrobes. And, you know, they had all that happen. And everybody loved everybody. And everybody was the greatest guy in the world. That can change really fast.
Yes.
Where you suddenly look around and say, man, that guy bugs me. Or how come that guy's showing up late? You know, that guy, how come he's the last guy in here? You know, he can't be the last guy in here. Little stuff like that. Anybody who's in any kind of a workplace, you understand it, right? That if things are cooking and everybody's happy and, you know, it's fine. But if something's going wrong and the pressure starts to land on you, you'll start looking around at people saying, you know, I'm working really hard, but that guy's not working as hard as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, again, I'm not sure about work rate, but Josh Donaldson's having a really good start.
Yeah.
He's having an MVP caliber start, and he might be, you know, and last year he was an MVP in the middle of one of the best offensive lineups in the history of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's looking around saying, man, I'm still doing my bit here.
Yeah.
But what about you other guys, you know, who were really good last year? What's going on? That's not good. You know, that's not it, because these guys are with each other every day for a long, 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 long time.
What was I going to say? Russ Martin had four strikeouts yesterday.
He looks lost.
He does look lost.
He hasn't, you know, and he has not looked right for a second.
No, I thought there were a couple of flashes, a couple of hits to the opposite field that normally you'd say, okay, that's a sign a guy's about to break out, but it was a false sign, if anything.
Yeah, he just, you know, how many baseballs has he hit on the screws this year? Mm. Like, how many times has, you know, he looked, had a nice kind of balanced swing and driven the baseball?
Compared to Ryan Goins, who's hit a ton of balls on the screws right at people. So as we said, the Jays have today off, and they'll get back at it tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa. Just taking a look at, all right. Shai Davidi will join us as well. Later on in the hour. Like, Shai's got a book coming out soon.
He does.
I think it might be coming out today. Travis, do we know? Travis is beavering away.
I don't know. He's on I think Shai is part of the Magical Mystery Tour of the Tavistock this evening. So,
which I will not be making.
Well, because, we understand. You know, you've got to save every word for this radio station now. Can't talk to anybody.
I can't.
Except here. Unless you're being paid to talk, don't talk.
Don't even talk. May 1st is when the book comes out. Okay, well, that's close enough. Anyhow, Shai will join us. We'll talk to him about his Donaldson interview. And it's kind of vintage Donaldson, because I think I found this last year with Josh. If you get him one-on-one, he could be brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think he's a guy who cares about the team, and he's a guy who cares about his teammates. And this is a little different, I think, than it's, you know, this isn't the try league, it's the get it done league. I think this is a little bit of a different statement. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's an element of Josh Donaldson looking around and going, come on. I mean,
yeah.
Two lefties come in here and shove it up our ass. You know, one guy, Chris Sale, great pitcher. The other guy's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's had a great start.
Yeah, the other guy's pretty good, but
well, it's just
we are the best offense in baseball.
And there have been a lot of just kind of lame at-bats. And it's not just against these two, you know, again, both lefties, but two very good pitchers. One guy's a great pitcher. But this season has been marked by, well, again, just look at the offense. Look at the output. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to blame any of that on the big three guys. You know, there have been nights when Bautista's been better than others, and there have been nights when, you know, Eddie's been better than at other times. I see Donaldson's been incredibly consistent so far. But I can't hang any of this on those three guys. But everybody else in that lineup probably should look themselves in the mirror.
Let's bring in the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Stephen.
10-13, probably not the record. Well, I don't think anybody wants to be 10-13 at any point in the year, although it is early. But what have you seen from this team so far? What do you like, and what concerns you?
Well, let me start by saying I really work hard not to draw any conclusions till 40 games in. I think, you know, everything gets amplified and magnified early in the season, just because of the number of games you've played. The most fortunate thing that's happened doesn't have anything to do with us. It has to do with the fact that the division's pretty wide open. So where we are not where we want to be, and let me make that clear, nobody is happy with 10 and 13. Nobody is satisfied with where we are. You know, what is probably most advantageous to where we are is that, you know, we're going to have time to sort it out and to get better, and I think we're going to progress to the talent level that this club has. You know, the most concerning probably trend would be bullpen, but bullpen is an area that is constantly a work in progress and, you know, almost always needs to be adjusted and tweaked as the season goes along. It's the least consistent, reliable area of building a major league team from year to year. Otherwise, I still think we're going to be a good offensive team, and I have been relatively pleased with the starting pitching.
Mark, we need to address the Chris Colabello situation a little bit. Obviously, a bit of a shock to the organization, I think, with the positive test and the suspension. Chris was interviewed by Jamie Campbell. I know you saw the interview. And one of the things he said there unequivocally, was that the only supplements that he has taken, the only things that he has put into his body, were things that were provided for him by the Toronto Blue Jays medical and training staff. So no one's disputing that, including Chris, no one is disputing the science of the positive test. And so he tested positive for the marker for a steroid. That is beyond dispute. So then that gets into the area of, okay, how did it get there? And if the only things he received were things from the Toronto Blue Jays, is that something that you've kind of cross-checked? Is there any reason to have cross-checked that? Have you looked at what he was given specifically by the team? Have you looked at whether those
things, all that stuff?
Know, yeah.
We all kind of follow the guidance of the program, and the program is administered, run by a joint effort of Major League Baseball and the union. So there is not a substance, there is not a supplement, there is not a any support, you know, whether it's hydration, you know, snack bars, you know, protein bars. There is nothing in our clubhouse that doesn't have the NSF approval stamp on it. Again, we just work off of what the guidance we're given from the program, and the program assures us and the players' union that if it's NSF approved, that it cannot trigger a false test. So again, I'm going to tell you that I found out the day that you found out about Chris. So, and I have not spent a ton of time since then because the appeal happened before that. You know, examining the situation, the circumstance. We've got a team to manage. We've got, you know, a ball club to run, and beyond the ball club, we've got an organization to oversee. So it's really a Major League Baseball Players Union, Chris Colabello issue. We support him personally, care about him deeply, but we're not involved in this situation beyond, you know, just being supportive.
So you didn't go back and review, and again, in terms of the NSF certification, I know, like, the players are essentially guaranteed, right, under the agreement that if NSF approved supplements provided by the team will not cause a positive test. There's no that it's ironclad, right? Am I correct about that?
Again, I'm not. You know, I haven't spent a ton of my life studying those things, but that's my understanding. I mean, there's supposed to be that guarantee that anything NSF approved.
But you haven't. You guys haven't. Or have you gone over exactly what Chris was given by the team?
I don't think anybody, I mean, we have nothing available that's not NSF
right.
approved.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So that
I mean, that's not just the Toronto Blue Jays. That's every single team in baseball. There's so much care around that right now. There is nothing that is team provided. There's no strength coach. There's no training staff. There's no performance staff that, you know, in today's day and age is, you know, lets anything be available that's provided by the team. That's not NSF approved.
So there's nothing within that closed loop that could explain the positive test.
I mean, again, not having deployed private detectives and, you know, investigated it. There's nothing. I can't imagine there could be anything.
You know, I want to talk about the bullpen in a minute, but one thing I did want to ask you.
By the way, just one more thing. That test happened, Steven, I think the first day he got to spring training. So,
right. Pitchers and catchers reporting.
Yeah, he wasn't in a Toronto Blue Jay environment prior to that.
Okay, see, this is the thing that interests me, Mark, and I want to just look at this a little bit. I know we only have you for a few more minutes, but, I mean, I believe both you and Ross when you say you didn't find out about it until the morning of the announcement.
That's the truth.
Well, but Kevin Pillar knew a month ago.
Again, that's Chris. So Chris found out, again, I this is really not something I should be spending that ton of time on, but Chris found out the day he got a positive test. And what he chose to tell was up to him. We were not people he chose to tell. That's Kevin's his friend, not just his teammate.
Okay. I want to move on to the bullpen. You talked about, and I think most people would agree with you, that's kind of the area of concern right now. And we know that guys in this bullpen have a track record, guys like Brett Cecil, guys like Drew Storen. You talked about how, you know, bullpens have to be tweaked during the year and have to be adjusted. As far as you're concerned right now, do you have what you need in that bullpen? It's just a matter of trying to, you know, make the tweaks and the adjustments internally?
I would like to be more unequivocal in affirming that, but... No, I can't say that. I mean, I think, again, accepting that there is volatility in bullpen guys year to year, you know, some of that has to do with usage patterns the year before. Some has to do with just, you know, the reasons that sometimes guys migrate to the bullpen, you know, originally in their development path. And so usually some adjustment, some addition, some change has to be made until you kind of get that, you know, rhythm figured out. I mean, even Brett Cecil's year last year is kind of demonstrative of that, as, you know, had, you know, numerous other, you know, examples of that, you know, as you guys have witnessed before. So it's a work in progress. We need to give guys time to settle in, get comfortable, see if they can get in a rhythm and see if they can make adjustments. But at some point, when it comes to bullpens, you just don't have just quite the same dependability and reliability as like a position player who has a track record of hitting, and everything says that even if he goes through a prolonged slump for the first 6-8 weeks of the season, he's still going to progress at some point and hit. Bullpen is not quite as certain.
Mark, Drew Storen's a guy that the organization went out and got in the offseason. He so far has not, I presume, not looked like the guy you thought you were getting. But what are you seeing there? Are there any worrisome signs? You know, a lot of people talked about his velocity and issues there, but, you know, what are you seeing from Drew Storen, and how is he the same or different than the guy you thought you were trading for?
Well, I mean, the difference is he's just the results and the stuff. So, but I mean, what we do see is a guy that is working his tail off, that, you know, cares deeply and that is, you know, working to figure it out and has gone through, you know, periods in his career before that he struggled. He does have a pretty prolonged and consistent track record, you know, especially in comparison to the broader bullpen universe. So, again, I think you're both hopeful and, you know, take some solace in the fact that he's been a good performer for a long period of time, and this is probably not the end of his career because he's still a young guy, and that he'll figure it out. Now, as that happens, at some point you need to adjust role and need to figure out a different spot. That's possible. I mean, those are the things that, you know, we're going to need to sit down with Gibby and with Pete and with Dane and try to figure those things out.
Mark, is there any scenario other than reaching a certain number of innings that would see Aaron Sanchez move into the bullpen?
I think the one thing you guys have probably started to realize with me is I'm not going to give very many absolute answers. So I think you need to continue to search for answers. You can need to continue to be creative. He's certainly been very good, as a starter. And, we don't want to be we don't want to create a culture and environment where we're jerking guys and reacting to short-term results and creating instability. You know, very few major league teams and very few major league organizations have any capability of sustaining success when players feel like, there's no foundation and there's no they have no understanding of what to expect each day when they come to the ballpark. So, I don't think we'd make a move that big, Jeff, without really feeling like we'd thought it through, we'd communicated, and that absolutely and clearly was the best alternative.
You know, we know from talking to you and Ross and John Gibbons in spring training that there were some adjustments made in some of the routines with some of the players. Simply because they played a lot of baseball last year, frankly. A lot of guys played more than they have in a long time. Looking back now, was there anything done in spring training that may have contributed to this slow start in your mind?
I mean, we didn't, Ross and I just kind of came in and let, a championship team adhere to the same spring training they've always run.
Okay.
So I think that's more of an answer for someone that's a question for someone that's been here before. We trusted Gibby and DeMarlo and the guys that have organized spring training and, I had a great success last year. And I do think that's more, while there could be some collaborative effort between the front office and the field staff, that's, you pick your field staff, and if you're not going to let them run spring training, you pick the wrong field staff. So those were not areas that in the micro Ross and I got involved with.
Mark, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this as always. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you. That's Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays.
As forthright as he's going to be, as he can be, and he said
it's pretty obvious that the bullpen is they're going to see some changes in the bullpen.
Yes,
that was.
Well, you can keep shuffling the pieces and wait for some guys to figure it out, and that's kind of what they ended up doing last year.
Mm-hmm.
You think about how the many people who closed games for this team
right.
in the first half of last year or attempted to close games. We had Cecil to start, we had Delabar for a while. They tried a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
And right now your choices are wait for Delabar wait for Cecil and Storen to figure it out.
You brought Ryan Tepera up. That's one of your moves internally.
But and Ryan Tepera's got good reverse splits, so he can throw to lefties and he throws hard. But I think one of the things Mark's talked about there is the kind of the volatility of the bullpen because the guy, the simplistic answer is that the guy you have this year is not the same guys you had last year because there's wear and tear. There are kind of arcs to a guy's career. There are all kinds of things that may, the pieces that fit together, the way they fit together last year won't necessarily fit the same, almost certainly won't fit the same way this year. And there's probably more volatility in bullpen arms than anywhere else on a baseball club. So yeah, you're going to be patient to a degree. Because you've got guys with pedigree and track record.
Right.
In some cases, Drew Storen is a big-time closer. Brett Cecil, at his best, the last 2 years, has been one of the best relievers in baseball. So you're going to give them a fair bit of rope, but it's not endless. At some point, you might have to go, they're not the same guy anymore. Maybe they'll be the same guy next year. Maybe they'll be the same guy in August. But right now, they can't do that job, and we're going to have to scramble. And maybe that means you've got to go out and make a move.
Continue our baseball discussion. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet will join us. It's the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on the home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. Bum, bum, bum. We're going to have some rugger later on in the show. Rugby, Eric Perez, founder and CEO of the Toronto Wolfpack. And Paul Rowley, head coach of the Wolfpack, will join us in studio. It's kind of a neat story. I mean, I've never played rugby. I've gone out and watched it. I've gone out in person to watch it a couple of times, seen the Canadian team play. I like watching it in TV. It's kind of cool, this whole notion. Even though it's a third tier, I think it's kind of cool, the whole notion of having that sort of setup here in Toronto.
First transatlantic franchise, right?
Yeah.
In any sport. It's rugby league, which is
better.
Well, I think so. It's kind of not the glamour game, because union is the, when you know people think of international rugby especially, that's what they think of. But rugby league to me is a more entertaining game.
As you pointed out, less kicking.
I think for a North American audience that's kind of used to American Canadian football, it translates a little bit better. And, you know, they've played some matches here and done really well, kind of quietly. There is a rugby league following here. So this has been in the works for, well, more than a year, I think. So, and it was one of those ones where you said, man, I wonder if that can actually ever really happen. Well, it appears to have happened. So congrats to the guys, and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be, if it's marketed properly, I think it can be marketed as a great day out. I think it's going to do fine. It's going to have to fight for, you know, to get a foothold in a pretty busy, pretty active market. But they've certainly gotten off to a great start. They got a great turnout for their news conference, and they got people talking about it. So we're looking forward to that. Also looking forward to talking to our next guest, Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. And Shai, I apologize as I'm talking to you. I am just sending out a link on Twitter to your story there. That's done. Your story with Josh Donaldson. Compare, if you could, for Stephen and myself, what Josh Donaldson was saying here compared to his sort of now famous, this isn't the tri-league comment of last year.
I think the key difference is that last year it was kind of more a hint that, you know, we don't have the horses. And, you know, we're going to figure out, you know, if the people here can't do the job, then we're going to replace you. Whereas here, it's more a wake-up call internally, just saying, hey, boys, you know, we're far better than this. And let's not give the opponents too much credit. This is on us, and let's figure it out.
How is that going to play in that room, Shai? Because, you know, when you talk about stuff like, say, base running mistakes, we all know who made the base running mistakes, right? It's not and it's not just the Tulowitzki failure to tag up. There have been a few of them in this early season, but that is as close as you're going to get to one player pointing to another player and saying you can't do that, you know, in public. Which is, you know, I know Josh Donaldson is the big dog on this team, but that can cause unease, discontent, animosity, all kinds of things in a clubhouse, can it?
Sure, but the one thing to remember is that Josh Donaldson isn't going to say anything to the media that he hasn't already said to his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think there's a sense here that he might be demanding a bit more accountability, just some responsibility. And a lot of things is just this team, forget like whether they're hitting, the bullpen, they just haven't been crisp. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the base running is symbolic of that, and some of the at-bats and the strikeouts are symbolic of that, and the way some of the pitching outings are symbolic of that.
Shai, there's any kind of a hangover? I'm wondering. Like, I know, you know, since a lot of us spent the entire winter watching the bat flip, you know, is there any sense of that this team arrived kind of a little too triumphant, maybe? I know it's not about necessarily taking more batting practice at bats or running more sprints or whatever you do in spring training, but you know, that kind of attention to detail, you know, that is the kind of thing that might kind of stray a little bit if you felt a little too entitled.
It's funny. I asked Josh that specifically last night. I said, you know, do you think there is a bit of a hangover? And I thought of it maybe more from a fatigue standpoint, that a lot of guys hadn't played that deep into a season before. And physically, maybe the shorter recovery period has been a factor. And, you know, he made the comment that if he could put his finger on something, that he certainly would have taken care of it by now, or pointed it out already. So I'm not sure, but I wonder about that too. And just sometimes, you know, teams go through 2-3 week periods, 4 week periods in a season where, you know, they're just not good,
mm-hmm.
right? And this could be the worst period that the Blue Jays have this season. But on the flip side, the thing you always wonder about is, well, maybe these are the early signs of, you know, some guys who are going to have off years or some other challenges. And putting your finger on exactly what it is the difficult part right now, which is why you know, drawing too many conclusions from such a small sample size can sometimes be troubling.
One of the things Mark Shapiro just told us, or he suggested, it's probably no surprise to a lot of people, but you know, obviously the bullpen's an area of concern, but he made it pretty clear that you know, I asked him, do you believe that you have the answers internally? He said, I'd like to be more unequivocal in that, but I can't. You really get the sense that, again, an obvious area of concern with this team, but you really get the sense that there's going to be something else done to the bullpen, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking quite a bit the last week, and kind of saying, you know, you really see how they miss Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen. And I was a big supporter, and I still think that he needs to be in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have that same type of weapon in terms of a guy who can just eliminate some hitters or you know, come in and get an out in a tight jam and get you out of a big spot the way they did with Sanchez in the second half of last season. And I think that's what's shown. You know, the inherited runners scored, I think it's up to 19 of 37. You know, that's a really worrying number for the Blue Jays, because they have to be able to bail their starters out of spots every once in a while. And the fact that they're not, you know, one of the reasons that John Gibbons stuck with Marco Estrada as long as he did last night is because, you know, he can't be sure about what he's getting when he goes to his bullpen at the moment. So, yeah, you're going to ride a guy 118 pitches because he's more trustworthy than the guy in the bullpen at the moment. So, you know, it's tough because, you know, they don't have a lot of options internally.
No.
At the moment, I'm not, you know, Ryan Tepera was the last guy who was sort of obvious down on the farm to bring up. And, you know, beyond that, you know, they're going to need some surprises. They're going to need something to pop up on waivers. They're going to have to make a deal.
Well, and it's, you know, deals in April and May. You know, it's not the best time of year to be trying to make a deal, right? No one's out of it. I'm not sure if you're going to try and trade like for like in terms of value. That's not necessarily something this team wants to do either. And they don't have a ton of prospect capital to work with right now, or any that they would want to give away. So, you know, you don't want to be dealing with your back against a wall, especially for, you know, for what, a setup guy? Like, really, what are you going to get at this time of year, and what would you have to pay for it?
Right, exactly. And, you know, relievers, especially ones, you know, under club with some club control and, you know, in the lower cost bracket, in some ways are one of the most valuable commodities in the game right now, because you don't want to be spending a lot on your relievers because of the volatility. And, you know, you almost have to really evaluate a reliever over a bit of a period of time over a season to get a sense of whether, you know, this is someone who's going to be having a good season, or if it's just someone, you know, blipping one way or the other. So, it's a really tough spot. And this is where, you know, some of the organizational depth that was traded away last year impacts the Blue Jays, because they don't have a ton of prospect capital that they can send away. And you know, the only way to really get that help on the trade market right now is to overpay.
This, you know, I know Brooke Jacoby is not a guy who talks a lot to the media necessarily. He's not a guy you get a ton out of. But I'm wondering, you know, if you could attach him to a polygraph and say, how did a team that was really hard to pitch to last year, right? This was a tough team. This team wore people down, and it wasn't just the big guys in the lineup. And that really was that was the case even before the deals. That was the case early in the season. Very, very tough lineup to pitch for. Took pitchers deep into counts. You know, and sometimes, you know, it was almost like fatigue that you'd get through the big three guys or the big four guys, and somebody down at the bottom of the lineup would kill you, a Pilar or a Goins. This is not a hard team to pitch to right now. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of swing and miss, a lot of swing and miss on fastballs. You know, and you know, I have nothing bad to say about Josh Donaldson or Edwin or Jose Bautista, but whoever the other six guys are in there, You know, you can manage them as a pitching staff going in now in a way that you couldn't manage them last year. And I'd like, I know there's no kind of omnibus answer, Shai, about why, but why?
that's a $1 million question. And, you know, just talking to people, sometimes, you know, it's pitch selection. Sometimes it's guys getting too big with their swings. Sometimes it's just a bit of approach, you know, too aggressive, not aggressive enough. And, you know, there's just so many different things. And it could also just be a product if you just have a bunch of guys going cold at the same time. And that's really, in a lot of ways, it's a case in the bullpen too. It's just that there's no one that you can turn to reliably right now outside of Roberto Osuna in the bullpen. And in the batting lineup, it's the big three. And then, like you said, you know, who knows? So what you often hear hitting coaches say in these kind of situations is that they encourage their hitters to shorten up, mm-hmm. look to the middle of the field, don't try to do too much, you know, just sort of a simplification of things. And, you know, I wonder if that there's an element of this group that they just come in and they're just expecting to put up six or seven a night, and they're swinging big to try and make that happen, and it's not. And rather than scaling back, they're trying to do more, which always ends up not working out.
Shai, thank you so much for doing this. When's your book coming out, by the way?
I believe it's actually started to ship on Indigo and Amazon, and I believe it's starting to get into stores already.
Give us the details.
It's titled Blue Jays Big 50, it looks at some of the greatest moments, people, and achievements in franchise history.
Sounds like it'll be a good read. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, thanks, man.
And thanks for stepping in for me and Tavistock tonight.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. You get well. You've been grinding for a while, man.
Yeah, I know. It's better. It hasn't cracked so far, so we're good.
You're going to be fine. You're just fine.
I'm just fine.
See you tonight, Shai.
Thank you, Shai.
See you guys.
Shai Davidi, our MLB insider on Sportsnet. Again, I tweeted out a link to Shai's column. It's on the Sportsnet website. Some pretty interesting words from Josh Donaldson. As we said earlier, that Josh Donaldson can be a brutally honest guy. And I think Shai was a good point Shai made. I've got to think that knowing Josh Donaldson, I mean, as much as you know a player, I'm sure he probably said this to his teammates before the media. I don't think he's necessarily a guy to use the media to send out his message.
No, I think he is pretty forthright, you know, within that room. But that said, when you do say it outside the room,
yep.
generally you understand. You know, Josh Donaldson's been around long enough to understand that if you do say that to somebody who's going to write it, it has a different impact.
Yeah. Ren Lavoie is covering the Penguins Capitals series. And I think it's safe to say that's probably the series most of us probably looking forward to. I know us Blackhawks fans, we've got no reason to watch it. Now, it's going to be odd not winning something. Ren Lavoie will be covering the Penguins Capitals. It's Sid and Ovi, kind of a renewal of that rivalry. Ren Lavoie will join us. Eric Smith as well. The Raptors going to Indiana today after they work out in Toronto. They will play game 6 of their series tomorrow night. Game 7, by the way, if necessary, will be on Sportsnet on Sunday. Ren Lavoie, Eric Smith will join us. It's a Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.